That's what's wrong today among Christians, even that's resorting to drinking. They don't have the joy and peace of the Holy Ghost in their lives, because if they did, you wouldn't want the bottle and you wouldn't need the bottle. In Habakkuk, a minor prophet of the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2 verses 15 and 16. Woe unto him, God says, that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. God said, woe unto him that putteth alcoholic or intoxicating drink to his neighbor, that put your bottle to him, and make him drunken also, that you may look on their nakedness. See, that's exactly why people drink, is to get out here and be involved into adultery and lewdness and lasciviousness and all these abominable, it's just immorality of every kind. God said, you're filled with shame for glory. Go ahead and drink yourself, and let your foreskin be uncovered. Let your nakedness be bared. In other words, God said, my judgment will be upon you, and shameful spewing shall be on you for glory. And God's promise, threatened judgment, is upon every person who drinks in any fashion or form intoxicating drink. God does not teach moderation. The Holy Bible teaches abstinence. And that abstinence is defined from one end of this Bible to the other. In Proverbs, the 31st chapter, beginning in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. It's not for a wise person to do this, to drink wine or strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of the afflicted. Now listen to verse 6 in Proverbs verse chapter 31. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. That's who God recommends a drink for, to some unwise person. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. But I'll tell you, God warns that it'll lead to hell. Even moderation, or what we call temperate drinking, the Bible does not condone it. It's preachers that's made up this old abominable doctrine and twisted the scriptures and mutilated the word of God and brought about this old doctrine of moderation or temperance. God says don't do it. And God, Jesus did not turn the water into an intoxicating wine. It was grape juice, and the word grape juice never came into use until well late in the 1600s, which is the 17th century. And when the Bible was translated around 16:8-11, the word wine was the only word they had for a wine press or for drink. But God distinguishes and differentiates between wine and strong drink all through the Word of God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident. So we can see here that the Lord is not kidding about this business of strong drink. When we begin to ponder the question, is it right to take a social drink? Is it right to drink in moderation? Then we must turn to the Word of God and not listen to some dishonest or perverted preacher or smooth talker who's afraid that he'll be unpopular with a crowd. Well, I'm not afraid to be unpopular with a crowd, because Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and I know the crowd is on their way into hell in the judgment. But I'm going to stick with the Word of God. I'm living in a city in Jacksonville, Florida. And it came out here just a few months ago in our daily newspaper, the Times Union, Florida Times Union, that drinkers of alcoholic beverages in Jacksonville alone drink enough booze every month to float a battleship. Well, I want you to know, beloved, we're surrounded with perversion, broken homes, violence, adultery, crime, filthy talk, and we see the suffering and heartbreak and hell that's the result of this ungodly traffic in the liquor business. It's heartbreaking, and it turns us to prayer and to warning God's people. These old ungodly liquor barons of St. Louis and Milwaukee and New Jersey and all over the world, together with the beer joints and cocktail operators. They're the most honored people, it seems like, in our nation. When they ought to be put in a penitentiary, the jail locked, and the key thrown away, and they've forgotten about, because they're contributing to the downfall, the heartache, the disease, the hell and destruction that's coming upon our young generation as well as the old. The decadence and destruction of this nation is in the hands of these liquor barons and the people that sell it. The dope peddlers, the cigarette manufacturers are all leading this nation into the judgments of God with their perversion. And it seems like preachers go right along with them, and they're the major factor in this continuing involvement into these things. And it seems like it's hard to even show people the difference in the right and wrong anymore. Well, let's see what the Bible says here implicitly about this ungodly thing. Now, God told Israel in the very beginning, when God called out the church out of Egypt, in Deuteronomy 29, verse 6, Moses reminded the church, said, "You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God." And here he's speaking about drink that's intoxicating. Then in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 13 and 14, Moses reminds the people of that which God is pleased with them participating in, food and drink. He said, "God gave you, made you to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. He gave you butter of kine and milk of sheep with a fat of lambs, the rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with a fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape." That's grape juice, my friend. And ladies and gentlemen, we're living in an age of the greatest perversion, the perverting of God's word that's ever been recorded in history. And it's the preacher's fault that these things are so, they're just absolutely abundant to the point of being epidemic all over this nation. Even our classrooms are filled with young people in adolescence that are drunks and dope addicts because preachers will not lift their voice and show them the difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and profane. Beer bottles and beer cans litter our highways in mute testimony to the decadence and the, just the absolute abominations that are being committed by the Americans, young and old, in our generations. Billboards in America glamorize sorrow and heartache and heartbreak and disease and death in these old liquor and beer ads. And we're just naive enough not to even let out a scream of protest. At least we ought to lift our voices and howl and growl back at the devil about it. Well, we're going to do this on this broadcast, and I pray that God will stir your heart to support it, that we can get this message continuously across America and into the hands of God's people and those whom the devil has deceived into this traffic on the curse of alcoholic beverages. We need to get this message out quickly. Well, let's look at some more scripture. Praise God. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, we read here about the works of the flesh, and seem like people are avid and ignorant to these things that God hates. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning in verse 19, the Bible said the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's all immorality. And friends, usually liquor is connected with these things almost invariably. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, that's all drinking, and such like, of the which I've told you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on in the next two verses and says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And the next verse says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If you have the love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control of the Holy Ghost, then you won't want these. You won't want to drink the accursed thing. You won't want an alcoholic beverage as a substitute for the love and joy and peace that the Holy Ghost gives. It's an indication that our nation is empty. They're spiritually bankrupt, and they're seeking a chemical substitute. And it seems like this whole generation thinks as a chemical solution of their problems, when our problems can only be solved through Jesus Christ becoming our Lord and Master. And I pray that God will move in your heart to make Christ, to help you make the decision to make Christ your Lord and Master, and overcome that old appetite and that old thirst for the demon of alcoholic beverage, and set you free by the power of God in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, I pray the Holy Ghost will move to deliver and set free. I pray that you'll convict that old bartender, that old beer maker, that salesman that sells it. God, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devil, and I pray the Holy Ghost will convict and deliver and turn them to the holiness and righteousness of God in Jesus.